use you and me, and God can use us. And every day that we yield to Him, every day that we yield to Him. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel with me. And yesterday we looked at Gideon, and we looked at a man that God can use, and we said five specific things about him, and they're really about who God uses. And the first one was God uses ordinary people, and the second one was obedient. So the ordinary person has a test of obedience. And Caleb brought that up about a sacrifice, and you've got to be poured out. You got to have something to sacrifice. That's the test of obedience. And then the third element was God uses somebody that can what? The third thing is overcome. There will be something to overcome. God uses overcomers. And then the fourth one, as we refocus from ourselves to others, is observant. Observant. And then the fifth one, the last one, was optimistic. Optimistic. And don't get too pessimistic. If you're getting pessimistic, you're focusing on the problem and not the Lord. The Lord is the solution. So keep your eyes on Jesus. And it helps to turn off the news, too. 1 Samuel chapter number 16 is... It might be somebody's favorite story here today. Yesterday we talked about Gideon. And today we're going to talk a little bit about David. And the subject is, how is God going to use my life? As we talk about missions, we think of the select few, the calling, the called, the chosen, those kind of the Christian green berets that God chooses to use. But I want to say that God wants to use you. So turn to your neighbor and tell him that God wants to use him. Right now, just tell him, God wants to use you. That's true. God wants to use each one of us in a unique way. And obviously, we had many great singers up here and all kinds of great things. We had the dynamic duo doing everything. That was amazing. But you know what? There are people that only you can reach. Only you can reach. And if you ask Pastor Polk or Pastor Camilleri or whoever to come and reach these people that you know, they would never reach them. It would not happen. But God has called you and He's equipped you, and you can do it. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17 is the great story of David and Goliath. David and Goliath. And here's an ordinary boy, the last son of a farmer in Bethlehem that is forgotten and overlooked. And God chooses to use him. And God chooses the ordinary people. God chooses those people that will follow him and can do great things. Now, probably in your mind, you have some people group that you are naturally fond of, affectionate, have an affection for you. They might be like you and they might be opposite of you. But God's given them a special place in your heart. I would say start with that group of people, whether they're near or whether they're far. And I would encourage you to pray for them and let your heart be warmed to those people and get outside yourself. That's the secret to letting God use you. Now, I want to give you four specific things that we all feel is the reason God can't use me. And then I want to give you five specific things that we've got to do in order for God to use us. And then as we wrap things up, we'll see those four things that we feel overwhelmed with are actually in the story. And there is the answer. So that's the basic direction we're going to head in. And hopefully we'll all climb together, ascend the great mountain. Everybody will come back safe and everybody will remember what happened. OK, so that's the basic idea. Four things that we all feel in our work. Number one, we all feel overlooked. And in David, the young shepherd boy's story here, he feels overlooked. And I think that's connected with the character of Jesse. If you know the story, Samuel the prophet comes to town, and he had just previously worked to instate the king, the first king, King Saul. But Saul, although he was humble and ordinary at the beginning, he got arrogant and puffed up with pride and usurped authority beyond his kingly position and went into the priestly position. And so God said to Samuel, go into Bethlehem and I'm going to show you the guy that's going to be the next king. And of course, he goes to the house of Jesse, and Jesse says, here's all my sons. And Samuel walks up and surely it's this guy. Surely it's this guy. And says, God says, no. We already picked the tall guy, and that did not work out well. So we got to find the right guy here. We got to find the right guy. And he was out taking care of the sheep. He was out there. And so Jesse here in David's life really represents being overlooked. We've all felt overlooked before, and David was overlooked. The second guy is Goliath. Goliath is in this story. Of course, he's the tall guy. He's the giant. And this represents the feeling in our lives of being overwhelmed. As a matter of fact, he had overwhelmed the entire army of Israel. And here's God's man, David. Saul is the king and all the mighty men of valor, and they're trembling and the face off for 40 days. And that 40 day face off is still going on today. I mean, right now they're talking about that face off, at least something similar to it. And Goliath is there, and it represents you and me feeling overwhelmed. The third element comes with the character of Eliab. Eliab is David's brother, and this is the feeling of being misunderstood. Misunderstood. And the fourth guy is Saul. And Saul is the character that brings into David's life the feeling of being underestimated. Now, I'd like to read these to you. So you're in 1 Samuel. Look at chapter 16. And glance down at verse number 11. Everybody rolling here with me?
Yes.
Here we go. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. That's an amazing statement. Here, the priest, the highest position, really, he's greatly respected. The last judge comes to town, comes to the father's house, and the youngest boy is overlooked. Now, look at chapter 17, verses 1 through 11, really. And this is the element of being overwhelmed. I'd like to read that. Here we go. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shukoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shukoth and Azekiah, and in where? That's the place. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the other side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Then Saul and all Israel heard these. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want you to own that situation just a little bit. Is there a Goliath in your life taunting and haunting and stomping you to where you feel afraid and unable and overwhelmed? Something that you can't get over. Something you can't get around. And it's right there haunting and mocking you. I believe that there's a Goliath that God allows in every life. Every life is different. My Goliath is different than your Goliath. Overwhelmed. Skip down to verse number 28. Of course, here comes David on the scene, and he sees his big brother. And, you know, all the tensions between siblings. Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he's misunderstood by the people that are closest to him. I think that's a problem that every one of us struggle with and wrestle with. We feel nobody understands us. As a matter of fact, psychology, which I think very little of, but modern psychology says that is one of the greatest needs that every human has, is the desire to be understood. Can somebody understand me? Will somebody listen to my story? And confidence in God is often misunderstood as cockiness or arrogance. But his confidence in God. Now, jump down to verses 32 through 33. We'll see the fourth character. And who's that? That's Saul. And he talks about being underestimated. Verse 32. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Now, remember, he's just a kid. And he's talking to the king. And this is a big king. He's the biggest guy. And then there's a bunch of other big guys, and they're all warriors, and they're all getting bullied. They're getting bullied. And what do people do when they get bullied? They bully too. That's where you get bullies, from somebody else. And so these guys, they're big, burly guys. They're getting mocked. They're getting bullied. And here comes this young, inexperienced stripling of a kid. And we gotta love David. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him. Now that would probably seem like a very reasonable statement. Thou art not able, my son. Thou art not able to go fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So, real quick, turn to your neighbor and go over the four characters and the four problems that we all face in life. Go ahead, make some noise, turn around and talk to him. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Now, your dad is probably not named Jesse. Your enemy is probably not named Goliath. Your brother is probably not Eliab. And your boss or the person that can empower you is probably not named Saul. But you have these four characters in your life, as do I. And we have got to rise up in faith and courage and follow David. So how do I get on mission? This is missions conference. How do I get on mission with what God wants me to do with these four elements swirling around me? And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. Father, we come before you. We've had some great fun. We have sang. We've heard some other people just sing so well and beautifully. We've had a great missions presentation. We're going to hear more. We're glad to be together and be in your house. And Lord, I pray that you would take these truths, your word, and impact our lives. And help us to get a hold of this using this hero of ours and this wonderful story that we all love so very much. And Lord, I pray that would not skip over us and we wouldn't think of it as some great character of the past, but help us to tie into it and dial into it ourselves tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, how do I get a view of what God wants me to do? How am I going to get on mission? How am I going to get involved in the Great Commission? And the first one, we're going to go to Proverbs. So flip over to Proverbs real quick. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 3. I want to give you four words here. They'll all start with W. Hopefully you can remember them. Proverbs 16 and verse number 3. Let's read that together. Proverbs 16 and verse number 3. Here we go. Ready? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Your occupation, your vocation right now is absolutely important. It is absolutely critical. As our government was saying earlier, it is essential. no matter what it is essential. It is essential that you commit it unto the Lord. No matter what it is, God, I'm doing this for you. If you don't do that, your thoughts will not be established. You'll get mixed up. You'll get discouraged. You'll think, I'm just doing this or that or whatever it is. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You will get discouraged if your work is not committed to God. Remember, Proverbs 16 and verse 3, I've got to commit my works unto the Lord. Notice it's plural. We live in a time that separates what we do into the sacred and the secular. And I'm saying Christianity takes everything that I do and it says, I'm doing this for God. My life is yours. What I do, I don't care what they pay me. I don't care how they value what I'm doing. No matter what it is, I am doing this for the Lord. And don't get mixed up in this idea of this is for me or this is, you know, my little thing, and this over here, this is for God. No, no, no. It's all God's. It's all God's. Let's go to the second one. Go to Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. You know this verse. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. Let's read this together. Here we go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So first, you've got to give your works unto the Lord. You've got to commit your works unto the Lord. And then secondly, the word is ways. The ways speak of your path. At the name of your church, old paths. It speaks of whatever you're doing is not just a single little island off in the nebulous of all these things, but it's a path, one step leading to the other. So everything that we do, realize it's another step down a certain path. It's, we're on a trajectory. Every single thing influences the other. Now, in the world, well, we're not really concerned with the world, but the world has seeped into our mindset to where we start to think that, well, what I'm doing, I love God, I worship God, I give money, I even I pray for the missionaries, and we got the missionary cards over here and all this sort of stuff, but I've got to figure out my own path. I've got to figure out what I want to do. I've got to figure out the trajectory of my life. But that is absolutely opposite, contrary to what Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, you memorized them when you were a kid, and verse number 7 are saying. Let's say it again, and this time I want you to say it to your neighbor, all right? Here we go, because it's a command. This is God talking to you, but you go ahead and be the voice box of the Lord and talk to your neighbor. Here we go. Let's all do it together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In other words, we can get wise in our own eyes, and we can think that we know the way and that we could navigate the path that we're on. And this Bible verse, it's, how many of you would say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is your favorite verse, or at least one of your top favorite verses? Raise your hand. So we, everybody loves this. It's a great verse. But this verse is saying we have to give our way, the trajectory of our life, the days and the years, the hours and the moments to the Lord. And when we don't, we're wise in our own eyes. We're wise in our own eyes. And when I'm wise in my own eyes, it's an insult to God. Let's go to the third one. So we said works, we said ways. Go back one chapter to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, verses 6 and 7. Everybody having a good time?
Yeah.
2, verses 6 and 7. This is the word wisdom. Wisdom. And wisdom is that that understanding, that knowledge, to know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and what not to do. Proverbs 2, verse 6 and 7. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. That is, God will give you wisdom. God will show you what to do. God will lead you and guide you. But you've got to seek him. You've got to lean into him. You've got to press in to his presence. Let me give you another one. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll just read this one to you. Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18. And this is the problem with the second generation, or maybe the third or fourth, of a blessed nation or people. Starts off with the problem. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. The fourth word is wealth. My wealth has to be given. Now, we've got that last because when you're young and have all this potential, you have no wealth. But it's when you're not so young and don't have so much potential left that you have all this wealth. And this is where you need to yield to the Lord. At every stage of life, David has to yield to the Lord. But of course, we're talking about us today. Commit your, number one, your works to the Lord. Number two, your ways. Number three, your wisdom. And number four, wealth. I want to encourage you to get some spiritual advice. You should have a mentor. You should have a spiritual advisor. Now, in the world's eyes, they would recommend paying somebody. If you have to pay somebody, I would say that they're not going to give you the best wisdom. It has to be somebody that loves you and that knows you. If you have to pay them, they're going to give you general principles that are probably true. But there's probably somebody that God's already provided that if you will do it God's way and honor them, they will be the spokesman, not of their knowledge, but of the wisdom of God that God lays up for the righteous. So I want to say, get a mentor. Don't hire them. And they might not be the wisest person in the world. Now, don't seek out the dumb people, okay? Don't do that. But there's somebody that God's already placed in your life that can show you some great things. By the way, not somebody of your generation. Not a peer. Don't find a peer. It has to be somebody that's old enough to be your father or your mother, at least your big brother or sister, at least, but not a peer. Not a peer. Don't do that. Proverbs 15 and verse 22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. What that's saying is God's purpose for your life, the trajectory, the blessing that God wants to use you. But without wisdom, without counsel, you're not going to make it. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. That is the purposes of your life. The reason God created you. The reason God made you different. I'm just giving you some general wisdom here. Hopefully you're keeping track of this. You're going to have to teach it to somebody in just a minute. Here's the next element. James 1 verses 2 and 3. Don't get in a hurry. Those that have the most potential, and those are the young people because they have the most time in front of them, at least supposedly, often get in a hurry. How many of you are guilty of getting in a hurry? I mean, ooh, don't get in a hurry. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience and faith go together, and faith is the economy of heaven. And so God is going to ask you to do some things, and then He's going to withhold it just a little bit. It's going to be just out of reach, and you're going to have to struggle and cry and pray and try and push. And as you keep your eyes on the Lord and you stay optimistic and you stay in the Word, you are banking spiritual Bitcoin in heaven, all right? You're making money now. That's what you're doing. So don't get in a hurry. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Now listen, God tests us to make us stronger. God tests us to make us stronger. And Satan tempts us with a solicitation to evil. So that's the difference between a test and a trial. A trial is to make you stronger. A test is to make you stronger. And a temptation is an allurement to evil. Remember from last night, evil and sin always looks dirty and bad to other people. But to you, it looks like an amazing opportunity that nobody else has seen. Let me give you another principle here. Write this down. Don't do it halfway. We're talking about getting on mission. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Don't do it halfway. Don't do it halfway. Colossians 3 and verse 23. You know this verse. If you know it, say it with me. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You know, God recognizes the authority of the home. God recognizes the authority of the church. And God recognizes the sovereign authority of nations. And so at Missions Conference, realize this. It is not God's will that we dodge and step around and skip around the governments of our world. Now, I can say, after working for decades as a missionary with missionaries, working now in our capital city, and our church is about a mile from Embassy Row, where all but four of the nations of the world have an embassy. I want to say that we often fight and struggle with the governments of these nations. Now, there are some things that we should not bow to and cave to, and that's not our subject for tonight. But I'm saying rules and regulations, if we'll follow them, we'll have the blessing of God. And listen, I'm a maverick. I don't like to bend. I'm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't like to bow and bend. I don't. But when we do work with the government, I believe this, that God will open the door. I believe it's true with the home. When you submit to that authority, unless it's sinful, you submit to that authority in the home. Submission is the secret to our success. I believe that's true in the church. And I believe that's true in government as well. And of course, there's an exception or two where things are unlawful. Things are there's rules and laws that are against the will of God. We're not talking about those. We're talking about regular things. Don't cheat the government. Don't step around them. But honor the king. And I'll tell you this. When you honor the king, the doors just open wide open. They open right up. Starting a radio station in New Guinea. Our friend and colleague, Brother Gene Sharp, and I left Mount Hagen in New Guinea and went down to the capital city. We had allocated 2 weeks to try to work with the government. We set up appointments. We read all the rules and we did all the applications and we went in. And they said, well, this isn't right. We said, okay, can we get an appointment for tomorrow? They said, fine. And we went home. We did that. And we came back. And we went home. And we came back. And we went back and forth and back and forth. And we got in there. And the Lord opened up an incredible opportunity for us. We were asking for one license for the nation. And we walked out with not only a license, but a request for every province in the nation and a hope that we would put in TV stations in every province. And I'm saying this, if we'll work with the government in some way, God will open the door. God will open the door. I'm praying for the opportunity to work with the current administration. They're just a mile from our church at the White House. It was an incredible opportunity to work with the last administration more than, I guess, 100 times, more than probably 150 times. I got to go into the White House, into the vice president's office and sit there. And he would have a weekly Bible study in there. I got to be a part of that and got to give a gospel track to President Trump and got to work with different members of his administration. I'm saying God recognizes those three authorities. And when we step forward and we say, God, I am your ambassador. You have all the wealth. And Lord, I want to do things right. I'm going to need more money. And God will say, how much you need? Listen, he'll provide. But if we start shortcutting, listen, we're cutting off our nose despite our face. Don't do it halfway. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. My mother really showed me, taught me that this is really the foundation of Christian activity. You know this verse. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. All of it. We're talking today about getting on mission, getting commissioned by the Lord, making a difference and an impact in the world, much like Gideon last night and much like David tonight. Well, let's get back to David now that we've looked at some biblical principles. And let's go to chapter number 17, 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And remember, first off, we saw that he felt overlooked, or maybe we feel overlooked. But realize this, number one, and write down these four things. These answer the four feelings that we looked at first. Number one, God has been preparing me. God's been preparing me. I'm not overlooked. I'm not overlooked. Verse 36 and verse number 37. Here David, he's talking to Saul and he's saying, listen, I'm not overlooked. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Listen, God's been preparing you. You have not been overlooked. As you have submitted, God has recognized this, and submission is the DNA of your success. And the world is saying that's not true. You got to rise up. You got to stand up and stand up for yourself. And God is saying, no, no, no. Submit to this authority. And we're not talking about getting bullied. All right. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And the devil is a bully and he needs to be resisted. But submitting to God and his authority. And that's how God prepares us. You're not overlooked. God's been preparing you. But look at verse number 38. You're not overwhelmed. God has given me all I need. You're not overwhelmed. God's given all I need. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with the coat of mail. And you know this story here, David's like, what are you talking about? I don't need all this. God's given me all I need. The third problem is about feeling misunderstood. And realize that God has called me to this cause. I am understood. God has called me to this cause. I am understood. As we continue reading there in verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before them. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And so realize this, I am understood and God has called me for this cause, to this cause. Last, God will do a miracle through me. Number four, God will do a miracle through me and I am not overstepping. Remember, our courage and confidence in God often looks like arrogance, but it's not. I'm not overstepping because God's going to do a miracle through me. Verse number 43. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth and all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Listen, that's what God wants. He wants everybody to know that He's in charge. And He's looking for somebody. Somebody that will dare to trust Him. And saying, I don't care who I am. I don't care what you think I am. I am going to trust the Lord. I'm going to follow Him. And I'm not overstepping. I'm not being a fool. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Listen, that's why we don't want to shortcut these things, because anytime you shortcut something, you cut God out of it. And you just keep plodding along. You just keep doing what's right. And realize the battle is the Lord's. And He's going to do a miracle through you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to do a miracle through me. Say that to him. I mean, serious. Say it to him. He does. He does. But I'll tell you this. Very few miracles are ever done. But I do believe God wants to do a miracle through you. All of us. But very few miracles are ever done. We got to go back to those principles in the center of the message that we talked about. Works, ways, wealth, wisdom, counsel. Don't get in a hurry. Don't do it halfway. You've got to get back to that. But here's the starting point. Here it is. And let's go ahead and stand as I give you this starting point. Everything starts. Okay, everybody get settled here. Here it is. Listen. Everything starts with you making the Creator the Lord of your life. That's salvation. That's sanctification. And so here at this missions conference, you know what we need to do? We need to say, God, you're in charge. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop living like some sort of Christian atheist thing. And God, I'm giving you my life. And I'm going to show up at the appointment to get orders from headquarters. And I want you to lead me and I want you to show me. And it starts right now with this invitation of making God the Lord of your life. Because He wants to do something amazing. Just like the story of David. And it's common for us to feel overlooked, overwhelmed, misunderstood, and underestimated. But as you yield to God, your works, whatever your hand is doing right now. Okay, this is my job and I guess I just do this. Does this make a difference? If you give it to God, it does. Give God your works. Give God your ways. That's the path. That's the future. Give God your wisdom, the opportunity, the influence. Give God your wealth. So here's the invitation. Let's do that right now. Lord, you're the Lord. heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's come, yield to the Lord. Here we go. Come to God.